572.
Thank you.
483, I surrender all. Thankful this morning that I'm not real sure if that's turned off or if it's just not working for us. I thought everything was on, but anyways, thankful this morning that I have surrendered all, and every day I strive to keep that commitment of surrendering all to Jesus, because that's the best thing for us. I'm so thankful for that this morning. I want to go to the Lord in prayer. Continue to pray for Sister Mary Jane. She got out of the hospital on Thursday. Lift her up in prayer. Also continue to pray for Sister Joanne's great nephew, then the Freeman family. And lift them up in prayer. Brenda Finn, Rachel Sagely, the Ukraine and Russia issue. Also, remember Doris Mercivy in your prayers, and then Mark and Rhonda Blessings. They are missionaries over in Ukraine. So do remember to pray for those folks. Any others this morning you want to call by name?
Our nephew is okay now, and Rachel's test turned out good, so she's okay.
Amen. Right, Brother Clark and Sister Tamara were in a bad wreck on Sunday on the way to church, and so do remember them. She had got to go home Sunday evening with concussion protocol. He was kept overnight because he had some broken ribs and wrist issue. So do continue to pray for them. Also, Brother Max will be preaching for us tonight, so remember Brother Max in your prayers as they'll be coming to preach for us in our evening service. And then we've got some things we're hoping to get set up and planned up this year with Brother Tim Adair, Brother Mike, Brother Lonnie Burks, different times coming in and preaching for us. So do remember that in your prayers. We're going to be meeting after service and discussing those things so we can come and present them to the church. But do remember those this year. We're going to try to do some stuff, church. And all we ask is you pray about some helping us support the men that will come and lead us in services. We've gotten to a point to where we don't do much. That's my fault. I'll take all the blame. But I'll just say this. We'll do things this year, Lord willing, everything will come together, and we'll let God have His way in what's done. With that, this morning, though, we'll be praying for those things. Anybody else before we go to the Lord in prayer? Remember that. She's in Sister Donna Faye's cancer support group. Stand with us. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Ushers, come. Father, this morning we thank you, Lord, for your love, your mercy, and grace. Thank you, dear God, for allowing us to be in your house this morning. Ask you, dear Lord, that you would lead, guide, and direct our lives and draw us close to thee. Help us, Father, today to magnify and honor thee. Lord, we ask you this morning that you would just be with those unable to be with us, dear God. Be with those, Father, Lord, who are sick and afflicted and can't come. God, we pray, Father, that you just touch those shut-ins, dear Lord, who'd love to be in your house. God, we ask you this morning to be with those that are lost, dear God. Touch our country, dear Lord, we pray. Father, just move us, Lord, in the right direction for thee. Lord, we ask you this morning that you'd just bless the offering, let it be used for thy glory, for thy honor, and thy praise. Well, thank you, dear God, and we'll give you glory in Jesus' name. And amen. Amen.
Thank you.
going to do? Thank God I'm free. Anybody got a special this morning? Going the wrong way, sis, for a special. I'll be honest with you, I could sing, but I don't have one. All right. You pray. I don't know what's going on with our sound, but this is not working. This is not working. What's that? Sound man's here. Turns on but don't work, huh? That's all right. We got ways around it. Got your Bibles this morning. I want you to go with us over to the book of Matthew, chapter 3. Matthew chapter 3. And if you would this morning, stand with us as we read in the Word of God. Last week, we was on the way down. The Lord changed our heart and our message. And then Sunday night, we preached something different. And I thought to myself, well, the Lord's not going to let me preach this one. But I was telling Sister Barbara this morning, I've had such a joy over the last little bit just Bible studying and praying. And I know you've been praying for me, but I've had such a joy, and it's something to have in the years. I've always wondered from one Sunday to another Sunday what we would do, and how we would be able, you know, what we would preach on. Sometimes we'd get it early, sometimes late. Wednesday night's the same. But right now, God has blessed us that we have to pray over which message. Just so many that just fill my heart. And thought this one was last week. Title today is Salvation Revealed Through Christ. Church, we do not understand how blessed we are to have salvation. And what that actually means to you and I. And I hope this morning that you'll pray with us and help us as we go through this. Matthew chapter 3, verse 1, it says, "In those days John the Baptist preaching in the wilderness of Judea, and saying, Repent ye, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. For this is he that was spoken of by the prophet Isaiah, saying, The voice of one crying in the wilderness, Prepare ye the way of the Lord, make his path straight." I want you to think about that this morning. Who was John telling us about Jesus? What's the Bible telling us about Jesus? And you and I this morning are blessed to stand in the grace of God through Christ Jesus. Father, today we thank you, Lord, for your love, your mercy, and grace. Thank you, Father, for allowing us to be in your house. We pray, Lord, that you would lead us, guide us, and direct us, and draw us close. Help us, Heavenly Father, to lift you up and to praise and worship and honor and glorify your holy name. Lead us now, I pray, Father, through thy word for thy name's sake. May each and every one of us today, dear God, glean from thy word that which you would have us to, that we may honor thee with all we do and say. In Jesus' name we pray, and amen. Amen. You may be seated this morning. Jesus asked them one time whom they went out into the wilderness to see. And he talked about John the Baptist, and he talked about the man that was dressed in camel's hair and ate wild honey and locusts. And he said, but what went ye out to see? And he said, a prophet. You know, when they talked about it, he said, yea, I say better than. There's not one who'd been born among women more blessed, more than John the Baptist, more desired than he. And he was always talking about Jesus, no matter what he did. It was always trying to point to Jesus, and to the point whenever John the Baptist saw Jesus, he said, Behold, him in whom I am not worthy to loosen the laces of his shoe. Now you think about this for just a second this morning. When Jesus come to John the Baptist to be baptized, John said, I need be baptized of thee. But Jesus said, Suffer it to be so, because he knew he was fulfilling the will of God.
Salvation through Christ is you and I's greatest gift that we have today. No matter what we think is more precious to us than anything else, if you've got salvation, that's better than anything you could ever get in your lifetime. And I've thought about this. The advice that we give folks on salvation, the advice we give folks on marriage sometimes, pointing them towards God and grace and all these things, people, you know, they take that with a grain of sand a lot of times and they don't hold very fast to it. But if I was to tell you that I know exactly where you could go and get two golden nuggets that are worth $1 million and say this, I know that I can guarantee that when you get there, you'll get those two nuggets. They're worth $1 million. And by the way, everybody can go and get two nuggets worth $1 million. People would go in the groves. But you tell them about Jesus in eternity for their soul, and they don't listen, they don't heed, they don't care, because they don't think there's a hell. And John was saying, repent, because there is a hell. And there is a Christ. When you think about it this morning, Jesus revealed the salvation of God to you and I. In Mark chapter 1, it said this in verse 14. Now after that John was put in prison, Jesus came into Galilee preaching the gospel of the kingdom of God and saying, the time is fulfilled. Now look at that. The time is fulfilled. John is saying, prepare ye the way. Get ready. Here he comes. Jesus says, the time is fulfilled, that the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent ye and believe the gospel. Why? Because in the gospel we find the salvation message for you and I. The opportunity to be saved, the opportunity to be changed, the opportunity for you and I to make a difference not only in our lives but in the lives of others. Can I say this morning to church, your salvation will either make a difference in your life and nobody else's, or will make an absolute difference in your life and somebody else's. Some people have salvation that never makes a difference. And I ask this question, is that real salvation? Because real salvation will change your life and somebody else's. It has to rub off. Remember, Elijah said it was like a fire shut up in my bones, or Isaiah, that I could not contain. It couldn't just sit there and do nothing. I wonder how many people this morning have what we call salvation, but it sits there and does nothing. And we call it salvation because we feel like we're all right, we're going to heaven, we got it all planned out, it's all laid out, everything's going to work, it's going to be just fine. But it doesn't line up with the Bible. It doesn't line up with the things that we read about in the Bible. And their salvation is based upon their opinion instead of God's word. You realize what John was saying? Prepare ye the way of the Lord. Here comes Jesus. Jesus said, it's fulfilled. I'm here. Now listen, this is what you need. You need to hear and believe the gospel. The gospel is our revelation of Jesus Christ and the salvation that he brought us on Calvary's cross. We sometimes don't like to hear this, but look at this morning. I'll try to go through this. I've got several verses, so just hang on with me. Isaiah chapter 7 says, and he said, hear ye now, O house of David, it is a small thing for you to weary men, but will you weary my God also? Therefore the Lord himself shall give you a sign. Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and shall call his name Emmanuel. Butter and honey shall he eat, and he may, that he may know how to refuse evil and to choose the good. And we think about this for a second. We think, well, Jesus, he didn't have to learn that. He's God. But look at what he said. He shall know how to refuse. God said that Jesus was tempted in all ways like as to us, but yet was without sin. And we hear the scripture and we see the scripture in the book of Isaiah. And I thought about this because I got several passages in Isaiah. How is it that they could go through their lifetime understanding, learning, seeing, and then in the end, whenever Jesus is here, they have all the Old Testament telling them about Jesus to come, and they refuse the Messiah, they refuse the Son of God, they refuse their salvation. And then I have to ask myself this, how is it that we have the Old Testament, the New Testament, and 2,000 years of declaration of Jesus Christ, and still yet today will refuse the same? Well, Brother Ernie, I've not seen what they've seen, some would say. Well, the reason we don't see is because we don't believe. I'm just going to chalk it up right there, church. Salvation came to you and I. I mean, it's right there before us. I know this for a fact this morning. I'm not perfect. I've had to say that a whole lot this week, by the way, to a lot of folks. I'm not perfect. And I'm not. I do serve a perfect Savior. He loves me with the perfect love. But I'm not perfect. And you're not perfect. No matter how good you think you are, you're not perfect. You needed a Savior to save you too. And a bunch of imperfect people with a perfect Savior trying to worship together is what God wanted us to do. And our salvation should rub off on one another and should help somebody else. And I'm just telling you this morning, church, salvation was revealed through Christ to us. And we need to reveal that salvation because of Christ to somebody else. We've seen the sign of salvation. I didn't see the virgin birth. But I believe with all my heart it was. I mean, absolutely, just like it said there in the Bible, that it was. And I believe that so that I'm just telling you, church. It revealed to me the Word of God, and I thought about this, and I'm missing some of the things I thought about, but the Word of God revealed to me everything that was absolutely necessary for me to have salvation in my life. That's why it's so important to have your Bible. By the way, I'll just say this this morning, throw it in there again, a King James Bible. You know why? Because your NIV Bibles, they say a woman shall conceive. Well, that's not too hard to believe, is it? Women have babies every day. But a virgin, that takes faith. Yeah. My Bible says that you got to have faith. Without faith, it's impossible to please God. So my Bible says, a virgin shall conceive. In Isaiah chapter 9, verse 6, for unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, the government shall be upon his shoulders, and his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. And I've preached on this before, and I'm telling you this morning, I'm so glad that I have a wonderful salvation. I'm so glad that I have a counseling salvation. I'm so glad that I have a Mighty God salvation. And I'm so glad I have an everlasting, eternal life salvation through an everlasting, eternal life Father. When you think about it, because of all of that, I have a peace in my life which passes all understanding because I have the King of Peace in my heart. Church, when we get these things, we begin to see things, it makes a difference in our lives. I thought about it and I went on some more. I want to continue to show you salvation revealed through Christ. Isaiah chapter 52, I used this last Sunday night. I'll use it again this morning. Start back in verse 13. Behold, my servant shall deal prudently. He shall be exalted and extolled and be very high. There are some who will lift the name of God all the way up, and there's others who will try to drag it all the way down. And we'll try, there's some who will lift Jesus up on high. And remember, Jesus himself said, if I be lifted up, I'll draw all men into myself. And I know you read your Bible there. I want you to understand I'm not taking away from the Word of God. But listen to me. He said, and John said, talking about the death that he should suffer on the cross. And he was lifted up above men. He died on Calvary's cross in the eyes of men. He was placed in a borrowed tomb in the eyes of men. But one day in the eyes of men, they saw him on the road to Damascus. They saw him in the upper room. The Bible tells us they saw him out on the mount. Why? Because God said this, if I be lifted up. He talked about his death, but he also talked about his ascension, and he also talked about you and I talking about him. Why not talk about the one who saved you from your sins? I'm just saying this morning. That's what it said. Behold, my servant shall deal prudently. He shall be exalted and extolled and be very high. And listen to this. As many were astonished in thee, his vestures was so mired more than any man, and the form
more than the sons have been, so shall he sprinkle many nations. The kings shall shut their mouths at him. That which had not been told them shall they see, and that which they had not heard shall they consider. Well, that was fulfilled real easy with the Apostle Paul. Think about this. King Agrippa said, almost thou persuadest me to be a Christian. And I wonder how many times in services, Sunday after Sunday, people hear about Jesus Christ and his love and say, well, I'm almost persuaded. Almost don't get you to heaven. Almost don't get your sins forgiven. You know, a lot of times we think we're drawing closer to God because we showed up more in service. Or maybe we got our Bible out a little bit more. Maybe we said a prayer a little bit more. Maybe we sung some. We think we're getting closer to God. And I'll be honest with you, church. There are many times in my life I thought, boy, I studied more this week. I'm getting closer to God. I prayed more this week. I'm getting closer to God. Just to find out that going through the actions doesn't mean anything. You got to have your heart in it, church. Your heart has to be in it. It's not about just being there. It's about wanting to be there, desiring to be there. Remember this, and I thought about this, because I'm so excited about how many things God has got me working on right now through the scriptures and things I'm studying, and I'm so excited about it. And I thought to myself on the way down this morning, the Bible is true. Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. And I thought to myself, wow, I love that. But then I thought about David. He said, my cup runneth over. I mean, there's more there than I can take on right now. You couldn't stand to hear me preach as long as the messages I've got going right now that God's just given me. But you know what I'm learning? To dive a little deeper into everything. And when we do that, church, we start to really see who God is and what he wants to do in our life. Who Christ is, what he wants to do in our life. The Holy Ghost, what he is and what he wants to do in our lives. You say, Brother Ernie, aren't they all the same? They absolutely are. But you realize this morning, God is on the throne, Jesus is interceding, and the Holy Ghost is leading. God has it all worked out, church. I mean, he knows what he's doing. Going on, reading chapter 53, who shall believe our report? And that's still the question today, by the way. Who believes this? If you really believe it, you'll seek after it. You ever thought about that? I don't know a lot about treasure hunting, okay? My treasures are laid up in heaven, I'll tell you that. But I do know the pursuit of treasure wanting, okay? And sometimes I've wanted things so bad, I've sought them out so hard that I mean to tell you, I've spent hours trying to do this. But there are some folks who believe out in the woods someplace, somewhere around in Fort Smith even, that there are treasures buried. And they got maps and they got all kinds of things that they do. And they'll go out and they'll search and they'll search and they'll search and they'll search for treasure. And they always find another clue. That clue's leading them to another place. And have you ever watched National Treasure? That was the whole thing there. One clue after another, after another, after another, after another, trying to get to the treasure. And they get engulfed in that. But can I tell you something? If I gave you a map, or I told you, like I said a while ago, I could show you a place where there's two gold nuggets worth $1 million and everybody can get it. I guarantee you people would line up for the map and they would do their dead level best to get there no matter what it took and no matter how long it took, because they would. If it's a guaranteed thing, I mean, I'm going for it. But I can guarantee you there's a heaven and very few people strive to get there. I can guarantee you there's a hell, but nobody believes they'll ever go there. How can you guarantee that? Here's the map. Every person who's ever tried to disprove the Word of God got saved when they tried hard enough. You ever thought about that?
Scientist after scientist, I've heard testimonies. They tried their best to disprove God. And those that really tried ended up getting saved. Amazing difference between being one who says, well, God doesn't exist, and ignoring it. And the one who says, I will prove God does not exist, and then get saved because they found out that he did. Salvation revealed. That's what this Bible does. The words that we give you this morning, the places we'll go. Who shall believe our report? Or who hath believed our report? Whom is the arm of the Lord revealed? And I've said this 100 times, I know, since I've been here, church. You've heard me read this. But God's arm's been revealed to you this morning because you're here, and here's his word. Not because of me, but because you're here, and here's his word. His arm is revealed to you and I. And then it describes Christ. And he was exactly that. Think about it. Is this not Jesus of Nazareth? Is there any good thing come out of Nazareth? Is this not Jesus, Joseph's son, a carpenter's son? I mean, after all, he's not a synagogue leader. He's not a Pharisee. I mean, he's not one of them big guys up on the top there. I mean, he's just a carpenter's boy. How can this be the Son of God? Could have looked at me and said I was Jimmy Don Immler's son. And they could have named off all the things he had ever done. Installed septic systems. Helped do some plumbing. Drove a truck. I don't know what all he'd done. They could have looked at my stepdad and said, well, this is just Henry Davis's son. Sep's son. What did he ever do? Well, he helped install septic tanks at one time. He hauled hay for a living. He hauled rock for a living. He hauled wood for a living. He coon hunted. You ever ate possum? I guarantee you I did. My parents never told me, but hey, we ate it. Who's he? The truth of the matter is, it doesn't matter what my last name is, and it doesn't matter who my daddy is. But it absolutely matters who my father is. In church, I'm telling you something this morning. They looked down and they said exactly what the Bible said, which proves that Jesus was Jesus, because they looked at him and did exactly what the Bible said they would do to him. So it came true. He's despised and rejected a man of sorrows, acquainted with grief, and we hid as it were our faces from him, and we're still hiding our face today because we do not want to look into the reality of the truth. We esteemed him not. Surely he has borne our griefs, carried our sorrows, yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgression. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him. And with his stripes we are healed. And then look at verse 6. All we like sheep are gone astray. We have turned every one to his own way. And the Lord hath laid upon him the iniquity of us all. So no matter what we think, Jesus still took the price. Not everybody got saved because of what Jesus did. But everybody got the opportunity to have salvation revealed to them. And if it's revealed and becomes real, then we'll reveal it to others. Too many folks, salvation is not real. It's just a part of their lives. Isaiah 56:1, thus saith the Lord, keep ye judgment and do justice, for my salvation is near to come, and my righteousness to be revealed. Matthew 1:21 says this, and she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, and he shall save their people from their sins. Or excuse me, he shall save his people from their sins. Now all of this was done that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken of the Lord by the prophet, saying, behold, a virgin shall be with child, and shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Emmanuel, which being interpreted is God with us. We read in Isaiah, behold, a virgin shall be with child. Amen. Think about it this morning, church. That's revelation to us. The angel of the Lord in Luke chapter 2 said unto him, "Fear not, behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be unto all the people. For unto you is born in the city of David, or this day in the city of David, a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And shall this shall be a sign unto you. You shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in the manger." I mean, after all, think about it, church. There is no calm nor formless, and when you shall see him, there's no beauty that you should desire him. He's lying in a manger. The difference is when you start seeing Christ through the heart, you start seeing Christ through the spirit, when you start seeing Christ in the reality of his, it is the most beautiful thing you'll ever have in your life. There is nothing compares when you get salvation revealed. Jump on down to verse 25, Luke chapter 2. "And behold, there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon, and the same man was a just and devout, waiting for the consolation of Israel. And the Holy Ghost was upon him, and it was revealed unto him by the Holy Ghost that he should not see death before that he had seen the Lord's Christ. And he came in the Spirit into the temple, and when his parents brought the child, Jesus, to do him after the custom of the law, he took him up in his arms and blessed God and said, 'Lord, now lettest thy servant depart in peace according to thy word, for mine eyes have seen thy salvation.'" Who was he holding? He was holding Jesus, which hath prepared before the face of all people a light to lighten the Gentiles and the glory of thy people Israel. I'm amazed to think about something this morning. In this passage of scripture, you'll find something different in a lot of places. It says, "Unto the Jew first and also to the Greek." To the Jew first and also to the Greek. To the Jew and the Gentile. But Simeon said, "A light unto the Gentiles first." Why? Can I tell you something? The words, these three, four, five words you found, "I am the Lord." Four words. It's found 163 times in the Bible. And if I'm not mistaken, almost every one of them, if not all of them, are found in the Old Testament. Somebody says, "Well, what does that mean, Brother Arnie?" It means God said it enough, we ought to know it. I try to put significance to the number, and really, you can break it down and do it, but on the other side of that, I thought this: if somebody says it 163 times, which God did, 163 times, he said, "I am the Lord," how many? He means he wants them to understand who he is. Now think about it, church. After they did all the things that they did, they would say, "Is this not the Christ?" When he would heal somebody, raise them from the dead, and then even when they killed him on the cross, and he said, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do," the Roman soldier said, "Surely this was the Son of God." All through the scriptures to reveal to you and I salvation. I've got so many scriptures this morning. You can go through and read. Zach, you set that clock way too fast. I got more time. John chapter 1. "He was in the world, and the world was made by him, and the world knew him not. He came into his own, and his own received him not. But as many as received him, gave the power to become the sons of God." Revelation, look at this very carefully. I'll close with this one here. I got more, but I'll close with this one here. Look at this. "But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name, which were born not of blood, nor the will of the flesh, nor the will of man, but of God." Can I say this morning, church, I was born the first time in the flesh. I was born the first time by the will of man, so to say. But the second time I was born by the will of God, and I was born by the blood of Jesus Christ, because I was born again when salvation was revealed to me and I accepted it. And now today I stand before you telling you that I am trying my best to reveal unto you salvation through Christ Jesus. And if you already got that, then you ought to make sure somebody else is getting it. Why? Because listen to me, church, one thing I've been praying for, and I hope and pray that you'll pray for, is that we've got to have a greater heart for those that are lost, because people are dying and going to hell every day while surrounded by people who claim to be Christians, who have never tell them about Jesus, who will never talk to them about their sin, will never invite them to church, will never talk to them about the Bible and what the real Bible is, that we trying to get along in this world. And I'm telling you something, you'll get along long enough that people will go to hell around you. Just tell them the truth in love. And by the way, not to be too mean, but I'll just say this. Then be willing to suffer long with them. Because sometimes people don't get it right off. So keep loving them. You know how long? Maybe you didn't do like I did, church, but I sat in church a long time before I got saved. I pretended church a long time before I got saved. I preached my first message in church, lost. I taught Sunday school class in church, lost. I directed youth class in church, lost. I said prayers after service, lost. I took up offerings and helped out ushers, lost. You say, Brother Aaron, why are you trying to tell me this? I'm just telling you that salvation had been presented to me over and over and over and over and over again. But one day, it was like God just, he just said, Ernie, you're lost. You need to be saved. And salvation began to be revealed in me because I had finally saw salvation revealed through Christ. Church, we don't have a long time. Don't know how short it is. But I can tell you this morning, we ain't got much time left to keep playing games. Not because Christ is going to come tomorrow. He might come today. He might come tomorrow. But because the longer we wait and the less we talk about Jesus, the more people who don't learn, the less people there are here to talk about Jesus. We're getting fewer. And the Bible says that will wax worse and worse. But it did not say, just let it happen. Paul told Timothy, he said, do the work of evangelists. The time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine. So Timothy, just shut your Bible, go to the house. That's not what he said. Think about it. Didn't mean to do it. I'll close reading what Paul said to Timothy. Verse 4, chapter 4, 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 1. I charge thee therefore before God, the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead at his appearing in his kingdom. Preach the word. Be instant in season, out of season. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. Why? For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lust shall they heap to themselves teachers having itching ears, and they shall turn away their ears from the truth and shall be turned into fables. But watch thou in all things, endure affliction, do the work of an evangelist, make full reproof of thy ministry. Think about it, church, this morning. Paul didn't tell Timothy to quit. He told him to keep going because it's coming this way. But keep going. If one more soul gets saved, will it be worth it? Yes. But what if that soul is not related to anybody in this building? Will it still be worth it? Yes. But how many of us have got people in our own families, folks, who are lost and need to be saved? Because I do. And then the question is, if salvation was revealed through Christ to us, are we revealing salvation through Christ to them? It's that simple, church. Stand with us this morning. Father, today we thank you, Lord, for your love, your mercy, and your grace. Thank you, dear God, for allowing us to be in your house this morning. Lord, I pray that you just lead, guide, and direct us, Lord. Draw us close to thee. Help us, Father, to honor thee, to magnify and glorify thy holy name. Father, we pray this morning that your will would be done and accomplished in our lives. Our lives will be a reflection of you. Touch every heart that's here today, dear God. Meet every need, Lord, that's here this morning. Father, help us to be, Lord God, what we ought to be so we can show others you. We'll give you glory, Father. We'll give you praise, Father, in Jesus' name. And amen. If you have a need this morning,